Purified my soul, he honors my confessions, says by his blood I'm whole. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful, it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He keeps me every moment by trusting in his grace. It's through his blessed atonement that I may see his face. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name.
Play something, Mary, honey. Let me breathe a minute. Play the verse.
He brings me through affliction. He lays me not alone. He's with me in temptation. He keeps me for his own. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. There's not a single blessing which we receive on earth that does not come from heaven, the source of our new birth. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name.
All right. You may be seated. If we could have a couple ushers, we'll take up a Wednesday night offering and we'll take prayer requests. Anybody got outspoken or unspoken? And the rest of your family.
Yeah.
Any others? Yes. How's little Abraham? Okay. Yes, honey. Yes, sir.
Tom, remember the one down there in Nashville over the shooting that happened?
Okay, yes. Also remember Les. He's traveling, he and Jackie. They'll be back tomorrow. Let's pray for them, a safe trip. Yes, sonny. All right. How's your mom doing? Good, good. Yes, Jack. All right. Okay. Yes. Unspoken? All right. Yes. Okay. That is Friday, right, at 1 o'clock in Grundy? Okay. I'll be going up there. Yes. Any others? Father, we're so thankful that you've let us be here tonight. And Lord, I just thank you that you can give us a place, a haven of rest, a place in which we can come together and bring our requests and our petitions and our prayers to you. And Lord, some of these that we've heard tonight are much too big for us. That's why we bring them to you. And Lord, I'm so glad you never get tired of that. It never weighs on you. It's never too heavy for you. You always just sit there beside the Father with your arms stretched towards us, your ear bent toward us, your eyes upon us, just waiting to help us. Oh, Lord, let us walk worthy of that. Oh, God, what a privilege. Let us walk worthy of that. Worthy of you. Lord, not that we could ever do anything that would cause deserve you. But Lord, because you're worthy of that, you're holy, let us walk holy. You're righteous, let us live righteously. Now, Father, for those that are lost in our church, families, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, friends, and foes, oh, Lord, I pray great conviction upon them. Lord, we just look around and see time is short now. Not much time left to get into the ark. Not much time left to get out of Sodom. Judgment's on its way. For the king is on his way. Oh, God, help us to live that way, believing that, knowing that. But, oh, God, looking up for that with joy and great anticipation. Now, Father, be with Brother Nick as he brings the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job, Doris. That sounded good. Well, it is good to be out for our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Dan asked me a few weeks back if I would do tonight, and I said that would be no problem. So I'm on spring break this week from work, and Lene was off today, so we volunteered to watch Canaan along with our two other kids. So we've had a fun-filled, packed day, and we took them to a big indoor playground before church tonight, and they enjoyed that, and I'm hoping that leads to good sleep tonight. not only for them, but for us adults too. So that's why I'm not in a suit tonight. I didn't think I could crawl through tunnels and do a zip line in a suit. So, and I didn't want to do any damage to it or anything like that. But I know Wednesday night's a Bible study night, and Preacher Dan's been going through Zechariah. And we're not going to do that tonight because that's something that God laid on his heart and his mind to do. And he's been doing a wonderful job with that. So, but God led me to Luke. So if you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 15. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 15, there were some announcements that Dan wanted me to make. He wanted me to remind everybody that this Sunday morning will be Communion Sunday. And he also wanted me to remind everybody that also this Sunday morning we will be serving breakfast at 9 a.m. Over in the Fellowship Center over there. So encourage everybody to come out to breakfast. And you can invite somebody, bring somebody with you to that as well. And he also put in here that this Sunday morning is the Sunday morning that we are encouraged to invite our neighbors to come to church with us, okay? So that's something to be thinking about, praying about, and asking people. And it don't have to be specific neighbors. If God lays somebody on your heart and on your mind, you can certainly ask them to do that. And I'm glad we're doing that. The Bible tells us to go out and to be fishermen, to go out and catch as many souls as we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we can do that is invite people to church. And I tell people all the time, what's the worst thing somebody can do if you invite them to church? They're either going to say no, or they're either going to say they're going to be there and they don't come. But how does that, that don't hurt you whatsoever anyway, okay? So nothing wrong with inviting people out to God's house, all right? Luke chapter 15, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, and we're going to start in verse 24, Luke chapter 15, verse 24. And this is the parable of the prodigal son, a story that we are all very familiar with. But we're not going to focus tonight on the prodigal son, the son that left and went out and lived in sin. The Bible describes it as riotous living, wasted all of his inheritance, wished he was a slave back at his father's house and would have even ate out of the trough that pigs were eating out of. We're not going to focus on that brother. We're going to focus on the brother that stayed home. So y'all be very much in prayer for this tonight, okay? But we're going to start reading here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 24. And before we get started too, I know Dan is very thankful for the choir that went down and sung at Rich Acres Free Will Baptist Church. I've talked to multiple people and they said we sounded really, really good. So I know he was very pleased and very happy, happy with that. All right, here we go. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now I want to stop right there before we get to talking about the brother in this parable, this illustration that Jesus is using. This verse right here was each and every one of us before we got saved, where it says, for this my son was dead. When we were living in our sins, we were dead. You were dead, I was dead, we all were dead, and is alive again. So this younger son, this son that left, he was dead and he is alive again. But why is he alive again? It's because he returned back home to his father. He has fellowship with his father again. He left fellowship with his father, left his home, took his inheritance and left everything. But now he's come back home again. And that's what happened when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. In reality, what we did was we just got back into fellowship with God, because we could have fellowship with God, because all that sin was gone. He was lost and is found. Listen, we all were lost, but are you not thankful that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we became found? You know, you look at light poles and things like that. A lot of times people will put a picture of their dog on there and say missing. Call this number if you see this dog. And sometimes they'll put a $300 reward on there. If you can return this dog back to her house, we'll give you $300 and things like that. And sometimes that works. And no doubt how happy that family is, especially if they've got children, no doubt how happy that family is when that dog is brought back home. Well, I tell you right now, when we got saved, I ain't a doubt in my mind that it brought a smile to God's face. There ain't a doubt in my mind when we got saved and we were no longer lost and we got found that it brought a smile to Jesus' face. And they began to be merry. They were excited. And the dad here is throwing a party for his son that has finally come back home. And the Bible says much rejoicing goes on in heaven over one soul that gets saved. When you got saved, heaven was rejoicing. When I got saved, heaven was rejoicing. People that are going to be saved tomorrow and the next day after that, and people that are saved over Easter, and people that are saved before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, I tell you right now, every time somebody gets saved, there's a great rejoicing, celebration going on in heaven. And now what a wonderful picture that is. But that gets us to verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. So they're throwing a big party for the younger son that has come back. And the older son stayed at home with his dad. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. So the elder son was in the field, so no doubt the elder son who had stayed at home, he was doing some type of work. Maybe he was gathering crops. Maybe he was plowing a field. Maybe he was watering plants. I'm not sure. Maybe he was taking care of the livestock. I don't know exactly what he was doing. But the Bible says in this illustration, in this parable, that he was in the field. So no doubt he's working. And as he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he hears in the house, there's this party going on. There's this celebration going on. Now, I don't know about you, but I know if I had worked all day and come home and Lene and the kids were in the house and there was about 30 other people there and they were having a party and half of they'd been having it for a couple hours and I'd missed it, my feelings would be kind of hurt. Okay, I might have missed out on some buffalo chicken dip or something or some chocolate chip cookies that came right out of the oven. I don't know. But this clearly affects the older brother in a negative way. It bothers him. He's been out in the field working. Well, why is everybody having a good time in the house? What's going on? And verse 26 says, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. So in other words, why is dad throwing a party? What's going on here? In verse 27, the Bible says, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf. So he finds out here in this parable, the first part of 27, that his brother has came back home. Now, I'm an only child, so I wouldn't know what the feeling is about this, but I would say as soon as this older brother heard this, he was probably getting, not that he was angry at his brother, but thinking, well, why in the world would dad throw him a party when I've stayed here the whole time? I've been faithful the whole time. I've worked the field the whole time. I've took care of the cattle. I've took care of the crops. He's never done anything like this for me. Why is he doing it for his son that left and wasted all of his wealth and wasted all of his fortune and went and lived out in sin? Why is he throwing him a party? He doesn't deserve it. I'm the one that deserves it. I stayed here and I worked. And we're going to get into that because he blatantly says that coming up here in verse 29. And then it says, thy father hath killed the fatted calf. In other words, he killed one of the best calves that he had. Not a skinny one. I know when I go to the grocery store to buy meat, if it looks lean, I'm not getting it. I don't want the lean meat. If there's a lot of bone showing, I'm not getting it. I know they make this lean hamburger meat. What is it, 93.7? I don't want that stuff. I want the grease pouring down into the skillet. I want a greasy burger, greasy bacon. I know they got turkey burgers now. They got like hardly any grease in it, turkey bacon. And if anybody eats this stuff, listen, that's great and that's wonderful. Okay, it's healthy for you. That's good. But I tell you right now, if I eat a piece of turkey bacon, it might kill me because it's too healthy for my body's not used to something that healthy, okay? But I like the good meat. Well, that's what the dad was doing here. Killed the very best calf that he had. Was given his son that had come back home the very best. Because he hath received him safe and sound. And what that means is the dad accepted the younger son back with open arms. He didn't say, leave, you wasted all your money, leave. He didn't say, leave, you're an embarrassment to me, you're an embarrassment to my name, you're an embarrassment to our family, I don't want you here. He didn't put a servant out at the end of the street and say, if you see my youngest son, tell him to turn around and walk back. No, he welcomed him back with open arms and threw him a party. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, okay? But we're just kind of going through these first several verses. And then verse 28 begins to describe how this older brother feels. And he was angry. Man, angry is a bad place to be. Because when you're, I don't know about you all, but I can speak to myself. When I'm angry, I make very hasty and very bad decisions. We never want to act out of anger. The Bible asks us to act out of a sound mind. And if you're acting out of anger, that's not much of a sound mind at all. Okay, but, and he was angry. It would not go in, so the oldest son wouldn't even come into the house. He's just furious. He's so mad. I don't know how long in this illustration, this parable that Jesus is teaching here. Let's say the younger brother's been gone 3 months. Let's say he's been gone a year. Let's say he's been gone a week. I don't know, maybe just 2 days. But in this illustration that Jesus is using here, he wouldn't even go into his house to see his younger brother. He's so mad at him. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. So I can see the father going out, not raising his voice at his eldest son or anything like that, just saying, son, what's wrong? Son, what's wrong? He wanted to hear what his oldest son had to say. And then verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, so I always followed your word, Dad. I always did what you told me to do, Dad. I've served you all these years, Dad. I've never left this property. And in the inheritance you're giving me, I'm taking care of it. I'm not wasting it. I've not done any transgressions. I've not done anything bad. I've not done anything evil. I've not done any sins. But, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. In other words, you never killed a fatted calf for me, that I might make merry with my friends. Dad, you never threw a party for me. And I've been the good son. But notice what the older brother was called in right here. I've got this written down right here because I didn't want to forget. In verse 29, you see a lot of pronouns there. Now, a pronoun takes the place of a noun. It says, I. 3 times I see the word I. Then I see the word me at least 1 time. I see my. Okay? Talking a lot about himself. Caught up in his own self-righteousness. Now, he's probably right. He didn't go out. He didn't waste his living. He didn't leave home. He did stay there and work for his dad and things like that. But he is caught up in his own self-righteousness. Listen, us as Christians, let us never get caught up in our own self-righteousness because there ain't none there. The only righteousness that any of us have inside of us comes directly from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every righteous act that we do, every good thing that we do, every kind thing that we do, every heartfelt thing that we do, every time we show love, every time we show compassion, every time we show the fruit of the Spirit, I will guarantee you it is none of our righteousness doing any of those things. That is the righteousness of Christ coming through each and every one of us. So that was a problem that the older brother had right here. He was caught up in his own self-righteousness. Quick to point out all the good he was doing. Listen, we don't do anything good. God gives us the ability to do everything good. How thankful that we all can be for that. So I think that's a good lesson for all of us tonight. The older brother was going to learn a lesson right here. Let's never get caught up in our own self-righteousness. The devil loves a Christian that gets a big head. The devil loves a Christian that gets prideful. The devil loves a Christian that starts taking credit for things and things like that. Let us always be quick to give God the glory and the honor because he deserves every single bit of it, okay? So that's something to be aware of self-righteousness. We don't want to be caught up in any of that stuff or anything like that. And I'll say this too, and I've got some very, very good friends that I have known my whole life. And I would characterize them and summarize them as being self-righteous from time to time. And I know for a fact that's kept some people that don't go to church that they know in their life, that's kept them from going. Because they feel like they don't do anything wrong, and this person's always doing something wrong, and this person's always doing something wrong. Listen, it's not my job to examine everybody else's life. I got to examine my life and what the God tells me and what the Holy Spirit tells me. Check my fruit daily, where I'm failing and where I'm doing wrong for God. So then that gets us to verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf. Now notice this right here. In verse 29, the older brother is self-righteous. Now in verse 30, the older brother is focusing on his younger brother's past. That was in the past. As soon as he returned back home to his dad, and his dad met him with open arms and gave him a hug, and then they were having this party, they were having this celebration, he had already been forgiven of all that stuff. God does the same exact thing. If you're carrying around something that you did 20 years ago and you're saved and you're a Christian, that's your fault tonight, because God's forgot about it. God's moved on from it. God's thrown it away as far as the east is from the west. And I want to say this too. If you encounter people in your life that won't let you let go of your past, that want to bring up your past, this is my spiritual advice to you. I wouldn't be hanging out with them. I wouldn't. That doesn't mean don't be friendly or anything like that. You can still be friendly, but I'll tell you right now, praise God, once God saves somebody, the past is in the past, it stays in the past, and it's all about going forward, praise God. It's all about living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have people in your life that are constantly bringing up your past, saying, well, how do you go to church? How do you sing in the choir? How do you pray? How do you read your Bible? How do you do this, that, and the other? How do you go to Sunday school? I know what you did 20 years ago. Well, you can say, I serve a God that forgave me of that. I repented. I asked for forgiveness. I believe in the plan of salvation, praise God. And God has taken it and thrown it away. And if you can't throw it away, too bad on you. That's the truth. And sometimes, and I'm just speaking straight from the heart tonight, sometimes church people can be the so-called worst for not letting go of the past. That's not a problem here, thank God for that. God wants us, if God's forgiven them, that's all I need. If God's forgiven me, that's all you should need. Because at the end of the day, that's the only forgiveness that matters, praise God, is God's. It's the only forgiveness that matters. So verse 30, he was too focused on his brother's past. Let us never be too focused on our past, first of all. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we shouldn't even be focusing on things we did years ago, a month ago, a week ago. If you've asked for forgiveness for it, you shouldn't be wasting any time thinking on it. But that goes the other way too. Let us not think about other people's past either. Once they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because God has made them a new creature, we don't need to look at them the same way we used to look at them either, because God is changing their life. That goes both ways. So that's a great reminder to all of us. Don't focus on our past sins. Don't focus on other people's past sins. Verse 31, so we can clearly see here that the older brother is mad. So here in verse 31, the dad starts to talk back to the older son. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. He says, Son, I realize you've never left me. Son, I realize you've stayed here the whole time. Son, I realize you've not missed a day's work. Son, I've realized you're taking care of your inheritance. Son, I've realized that you've lived a good life. Son, I realize that you have been here with me through thick and thin. Son, I realize that you have remained faithful to me. Listen, God recognizes when we remain faithful to Him. He will show us that through blessings. He will show us that through His Holy Spirit. There may not be a party when you get home when you do right by God, but I'll tell you right now, if God just sends me another day to breathe, that's all right by me. If God just sends me another day where my eyes can open, that's all right by me. If God gives me another day to work, that's all right by me. If God gives us another day to come out to God's house, if God gives me another day with my wife and my kids, hey, right there, that's God honoring the faithful believers right there. Don't have to be something huge and something massive all the time. We'll say, God, I've done this and I've done that and I've been faithful. When are you going to do something big in my life? He's already done something big in your life. You don't have to worry about hell, praise God. You don't have to worry about Satan, praise God. God's already done something big in all of our lives. He don't have to do anything else. God don't have to do nothing else for me to be happy with my relationship with Him. The fact that He saved my soul, that's all we needed. But He does more, thank God. Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine. He reminds his oldest son right here, say, son, everything I've got is yours. Man, I just thought of this as I was talking to you all. I can see God looking at a precious saint when they make it to heaven with his arms open like this, saying, son, daughter, everything I've got's yours. The streets of gold, the walls of jasper, the mansions, all that glorious stuff that's up in heaven, everything that God's got up there, that's ours too, praise God. God's taking care of us. How thankful we all should be for that. And then verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. The dad is saying here to the older brother, we got a reason to celebrate. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Dad tells the oldest son right here, hey, this is the most important thing right here. Your younger brother was lost and he has been found and he has returned home. And he, more importantly, he's no longer dead. He is alive again. You know, I see churches celebrate a lot of things. I've seen churches do ribbon cutting ceremonies to have to build a new sanctuary. That's wonderful. As long as God's in it, that's wonderful. I've seen churches celebrate having 200 kids show up for Bible school, and that's great. God's in it. That's wonderful. But I tell you right now, the best celebration that a church could have and what should excite a church more than anything than some building or than some program or anything like that, a preacher, a guest speaker, guest singing, the number one thing that should excite God's house is people being saved. Because there's not anything more important. There's not anything more vital. There's not anything more serious than that. Okay, so let's remember these tonight. The older brother, let's not be self-righteous. Let's not be too focused on our past. Let's not be too focused on other people's past. And let's not let other people be too focused on our past to where it affects us. And when somebody gets saved, man, let's have a party. Let's have a celebration. Because that's a reason to shout. That's a reason to holler. And that's a reason to praise God. I appreciate y'all's fine attention tonight. I appreciate your prayers. I know that that was extremely short, but I'm going to be honest with you. Them three kids wore me out today, and that was all that God laid on my heart and on my mind, okay? I do have one praise item. I wanted to mention this up here so everybody could hear it speaking to Mike. You know, Addie's always had these seizures, and I guess when she got almost a year old, and definitely after that she would have the seizures, then she would pass out. Well, we finally saw the Johnson City neurologist, pediatric neurologist, and I think he's the only one in Johnson City, so it takes forever to get into him. I know Gideon's going to be going to him. But he told us, and this is the hardest thing in the world to do as a parent, but when Addie has a seizure, just to lay her on her back or on her side, I can't remember. Lene's a smart one in the family. To lay her on her back or lay her on her side, then just take her knees and bring them up to her chest. Not to pick her up or hold her or anything like that. So we had an episode earlier in the week. You know, that first reaction is to grab her and hold her and, you know, just hold on to her, let her know that you're there. But Lene remembered. So she was getting ready to pass out and start seizing. You could see that it was getting ready to happen. So we did exactly what that doctor told us, and she did not seize at all. So we were very thankful for that. You know, we've been wanting God to answer the complete prayer of, you know, don't let her pass out, don't let her seize. But sometimes God answers the prayer in a method that you can use to keep her from seizing. So we were very, very thankful for that. But remember Gideon. I don't know if they've already went or if they're going this week or next week or anything like that, but certainly remember him too, okay? Is there anything else to announce? Have I missed anything? Okay. Okay. If you're going to Lamp Lot, you need to sign up, and Brenda needs the money by next Wednesday. Also, Angie, is the birthday thing this Sunday night as well? Okay, birthday celebration this Sunday night after church as well, okay? So everybody be mindful of that. Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in a word.